What's up, bowlers? It's me. It's your boy. You're listening to the only Magic the Gathering podcast that's ever existed. Am I the Bowlcast? I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. And with me is no one today. We couldn't figure out how to record today for this episode to come out on time. Just a lot of scheduling stuff. And you know what? It actually allows me to address a couple things. So before we get to that, please follow us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter and YouTube, and follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza, on Instagram and on Twitter. Follow Morgan at Indigo Gentleman. Follow Solani at Games Freak SA. They're not with me today. And here we go. So there's some changes coming up for the Bowlcast that we're hoping will be good for us long term in terms of getting more episodes out. We have a backlog, just to give you an idea. We have a backlog of a bunch of interviews that, because of the 2-week release schedule, it's just they're sitting there and they've been around for a little while. So we've got today's episode, which is a chat that happened after Chicago Magic Fest in February. And that is a while ago. So I'm hoping that with this new model that we're kind of pushing towards, that I'll be able to get some episodes out weekly. We'll lose the backlog and we'll just be living on a razor's edge and just bring you episodes when we can and regularly as possible with interesting guests and folks that you would love to hear from who are calling in to our little podcast. So before we get to the call, I do have to let you know about Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here, baby. There's a referral link in our show notes for you to follow to, and that, you know, as a podcast with a sponsor, letting them know we sent you is a pretty big deal. Cardsphere is an online trading platform where your cards are your wallet. Like, I'm going through my inventory right now and finding stuff that I want to post up and make sure that I can, you know, start moving this stuff and use that to then trade for things that I want. So you get your list of haves and you send them out to people with those cards on your list of wants, and then you get your wants in return. So it's all working. I've got my eyes on my mailbox because I placed a pretty hefty request this last week, what with all these new commanders coming out for Duskmourne. Yes, I'm building Lord of Pain. Yes, I'm building the Rakdos Vol'Goth. Yes, I'm building Jolly Balloon Man. And yes, I'm building friggin' Victor. Obviously, these are all way up my alley. And if you know me at all, you know that that is coming for sure. Another byproduct of us not banking episodes so much anymore is that you won't have to hear us talk about murders at Karlov Manor in Duskmourne season. So hopefully there's some changes that are coming that'll be a little bit easier for you guys to stomach. So the whiplash of listening to a podcast and going, geez, what set are they talking about? Talking about Caverns of Ixalan? We're here at Death Race. You know what I mean? So we're hoping to mitigate that kind of stuff. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. Be aware of the changes coming. Keep an eye out on our Twitter, Am I the Bowlcast, Mike Carrozza. Keep an eye out on all that, and we'll keep you up to date. And without further... Oh, there. I hear the ringing. I hear the phone ringing. And since Morgan isn't here to do the switchboards, I'm just going to try to slap stuff around and see what... Oh, that might work. All right, Carla, who do we got on the line? Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Mark Carbonzi, it's Brando with the Commander Cookout Podcast up here in Saskatchewan, Canada. How you doing, my man?
Oh, sweet baby Brando from CCO, Commander Cookout. We got both the Cookout boys calling in.
Well, if I was jealous, wow, Ryan got to do it, I missed out. I got to be here too. It's how it is.
Our line's always open for you, buddy. How you been?
I've been doing just fine, man. It's been good. It's good to talk to you. I haven't seen you since Chicago.
Since Chicago, been a couple months.
Yeah, it's been a couple while, months. But I've been okay. Winter has come and gone, and then come back, and now
and then
I think it's gone. I think it's gone. We had we had snow for like the winter, and then we had like another final snowfall of however many inches it was, and it all went away. It was like, I'm not sure how hot this would be down in there, but like it was like plus 19 degrees here, which is a really nice day. That's shorts weather.
Oh, and that's That's our temperature, baby. Montreal, same temperature. I know we're French over here, but same temp.
And then it snowed like 5 inches over 3 days, and it's been raining for a week. Man, I mean, it's rough. It's rough.
Saskatchewan,
dude,
got the worst of it, I think. Saskatchewan and Alberta both had like storms where the weather just was like, nah, I forgot to dump all this snow out, so we're doing it in one go.
Exactly.
Montreal, it was like a gorgeous day, like 17 degrees. We're walking outside like, oh my God, an early summer? We'll take it. And then the next day, my girlfriend and I were watching TV at night and we're enjoying ourselves just like, oh, well, what are we watching tonight? That's cool. Let's maybe have ourselves a little beverage at home. And then I look out the window. I'm like, maybe I drank too much.
I am Rip Van Winkle now. This is ridiculous.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, hon, am I hammered or is it snowing? And she was like, it's snowing.
It is very snowing.
It was gross.
It just sucks, man. Oh, and then this weekend I went and planted I live in a condo on a second floor, so like I don't have a garden anymore, but I still like to try and grow hot peppers in these garden boxes.
I see you.
I intentionally lose all the little sticks. So I've got the super duper hot peppers, and then I've got like some regular peppers that are kind of the same shape and color. And then at the end of the season, when they're all grown, I put them all in a bag and take them to work and give them to people. And they say, well, what is this one? I say, I don't know. It's a fun tradition that the people. Yeah, man. It's like, will Brando's pepper kill me today? I just about killed my coworker's wife one time. He sent me a picture of this, like, it was a ghost pepper, a reaper, a California reaper or a Carolina reaper pepper. And he sends me a picture with just a bite taken out. He says, Brando, what the hell is this thing? And I said, oh, that's a reaper. How do you like it? And he's like, you just killed a cop, Brando, because his wife's a cop. And she just grabbed out of the bag and bit it, thinking, oh, how hot can it be? Oh, yeah, it was excellent.
I mean, buddy, I'll tell you, I can't handle the faintest bit of spice. So I will not be gambling with my life with those peppers.
But I mean,
I couldn't do it at all. I've tried. It's not like I haven't tried. I've had milk that's too spicy for me. That's where I'm at.
I thought that you guys out in Montreal loved your flavorful food and.
Hey, right? We do. But you know, look, I'm an Italian, but I suck at it, and that's fine by me. Everybody's like, you don't eat spicy, but you're Italian. I'm like, yeah. You know what? I grew the mustache so you guys would stop telling me I have one less thing about me that's Italian. Now I've got. I balanced it out. Can we please stop?
I mean,
you know,
first of all, no, we shan't. We shan't stop.
We shan't.
We shan't. I was just about to say, until you're wearing a red hat and blue overalls, man, it will never stop. It will never end, ever.
I mean, but then it totally will never end. Well, I could be Chris Pratt in the Mario movies, okay? and people would still be like, yeah, you know, you're pretty hairless for an Italian guy. I'd be like, yeah, my arms got nothing going on them. I don't grow any armpit hair over in this way, you know?
Me neither, man. Isn't that a great gift?
It's such a good gift.
I got a tattoo on my leg one time, and well, not one time I got it done, but all three times I've had it done, they shave your leg where they're going to tattoo you, right? Hair never grew back.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, man, if I could bottle that and sell it, dude, I would have tens of dollars, like tens of them.
Only a few people would really want that. Ooh. I'd say I'm not a hairy guy at all. I've got no armpit hair. And people are like, wait, do you shave your armpits? I'm like, nah, I'm just a big baby.
Yeah, I'm just lucky as hell.
Yeah, my mustache doesn't connect in the middle. That's what I'm dealing with. My hair is bad to me. Anyway, all that to say, the weather's been weird. Being Italian's kind of nuts. Yep. Look at us go.
Look, we're doing it.
I mean, we're doing it. We didn't get the party so much in Chicago. I overbooked myself to be able to hang. But God, I had such a blast out there seeing you and Ryan in the flesh, just being like, ah, these guys. I remember when I first started listening to you guys, I told Ryan this. I was living in Toronto and I bumped into good old Andy Hall of the Commander's Brew.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I literally just moved there. I was like, I know that voice. Hey, are you Andy? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I listen to your podcast. He's like, no way. We talk magic. He's like, you should check out these guys. So I started listening to the old CCO podcast. Aww. And Yeah, buddy. You know, it's like it's at the beginning. I was like, oh, these. It's fun that these brothers just enjoy the same thing and they play magic together. Because I was like, you guys have similar voices, the accent's similar. You're like, oh, okay, these are brothers. These are brothers for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that just speaks to the chemistry.
Yeah.
No,
I appreciate that.
No, you're not brothers. No, we know that now.
Yes, we're certainly not. And I would thank you to stop disparaging me in that way. Thank you.
Shots fired, Brian. It's coming. Well, Brando, you're one half of CCO podcast, a Commander Cookout podcast. I know Ryan went on and on about all the projects over at CCO. Please tell us what do you got going on with CCO with all your work as Brando. I know you work with wrestling. You're an artist. You do all this stuff. Tell our listeners what you're up to.
What am I up to? Well, the main thing, I guess, that people would probably be interested in is the CCO podcast. I won't go super into the products and stuff. You can check out CommanderCookout.com. It's all there. There's some great stuff. There's hats and all sorts of and stickers. And sorry, Ken, I'm not supposed to do that. I said it. I did it. But I did apologize. So anything you want to find there, we're anywhere you want to find us. We like to talk about fun gameplay and decks, and we do set reviews and all that kind of stuff over on Commander Cookout. We've recently entered into a venture, I guess, with a local guy, the Dufferin Avenue Media Networks. They're called DAM for short, which we really like.
Okay, fun.
And it's kind of just a local podcast platform that focuses kind of on being cool and positive and nerd culture, and there's some sports in there too, and a little bit some news items and stuff.
For sure.
So I encourage anybody to check them out on YouTube or anywhere. They're really good guys, and their hearts are in the right place trying to do something cool. Past that, as far as public facing stuff, I'm mainly the local one. I like to do my EDH and M's, I like to play magic with people. I like to just kind of chill with my dog. She's over there. If I could get her to come on the screen, I would, but I can't because she only does what she wants. And other than that, I'm waiting for, what is it, Motti Ho 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 to drop so I can get rocked opening the worst packs out there so that somebody else does not have to.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know what to expect with Modern Horizons. This is we're peeking behind the curtain here, letting our listeners know that when this comes out, we'll be far past Modern Horizons. But right now, we're in the throes of still just between Modern Horizons and Outlaws of Thunder Junction. And we've got that leak that happened that is now an official preview, and there's a lot of weird stuff so far, and even modern players are like, this all seems pretty niche. This all seems pretty tame so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I don't pay a lot of attention to modern players because I don't play modern. It's not nothing against them. Right. I don't play a lot of modern, but there's some pretty cracked stuff in there.
I agree, but I think that for the most part, they're like, this is clearly a commander card. Hey, well, a little dog. Okay, that's a commander card. Oh, we'll see if the sacrifice counter spell is going to work in some decks. And people are like, it feels pretty narrow. It's got to be probably, I don't know, maybe Merfolk. And you're like, yeah, Merfolk, totally Merfolk. But people are like, is Merfolk really a deck right now? And you know, it's up in the air. But then you got stuff like Kudo, King Among Bears.
That thing's crazy.
Interesting for Commander. It's very interesting for Commander.
Huh. I suppose so. I never really thought. I'm just so used to everything being built for Commander that I don't ever think this is obviously built for Commander or not modern. Because those modern guys, man, like they come up with some crazy stuff. And
totally.
They use, I don't want to say bad things, but things that I would think are just junk. And all of a sudden they'd be, there's cards I'm just throwing away at the LGS. Like, Brando, that's a huge standard card right now.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
This card sucks.
Absolutely.
But
I love that feeling, though. That makes me excited about Magic. You know, it's like, I don't play modern. I don't pay attention to modern, but I'll listen to their podcast to hear, like, you know, when they're excited about. I remember finding out that, you know, Simeon Spirit Guide was like a big deal, you know?
And it's like,
look, that's a cool card in that it makes things faster, but where's the zazz? Where's the you know what I mean? Oh, it just means that you easily, it's like having a lotus petal that you discard from your hand. Sure. All right. Cool.
What was the Simeon Spirit Guide deck from back in the day? Was it all in red?
God,
I think that's
so
when
many.
I was still playing, where you used it and lotus petals and some other combination of mana to play a demigod of revenge on turn one to a 5/4 flyer on turn one. Uh-huh. Or you could discard more of them into your bin and then play that one and get more of them, and you're swinging for 10 or 15 on turn 1 or 2. Because
it brings them back, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that, but that was the last I remember Simeon Spirit guy. I never thought of it again after I stopped playing that deck, and then it comes back, and you're like, what the hell is happening?
That's what's fun about Modern Horizons and Modern in general, is like, there's some cool stuff that comes out, and you're like, oh, I appreciate the design, but it's not really speaking to me, and then somebody's like, no, this is crack. This is going to ruin the format. And you're like, okay. And then all you hear for months after is how, like, this one card is a beating. You know, as cool as, like, as good as Raghavan Nimble Pilferer is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not particularly excited by it. Like, it's, it's a one drop for, you know, it steals the top of a library, makes a treasure. It's really good. It's really good, but I don't look at it and go, I want this in my deck. Like, it's a stupid card. It's a Savannah Lions with like a crazy ability and a dash. Like, it's extremely silly, but of course people are like, this is cracked, and I'm just like, I don't know, Commander, it's kind of like, well, fine.
Yeah, somebody's going to block it with their Llanowar Elf, and it's going to die, and then that's going to be the end of it. And then you see other way. I can play four of these? What?
Yeah,
what?
I can play four of these, and then some. You know, it doesn't have to. Well, then they're legendary. Either way, I don't mess with Modern. I don't touch the older formats. I don't really touch Arena for Standard. I love a pre-release. I love a draft.
Yeah,
and love that. I can appreciate that Modern Horizons 3 is going to be a draftable product, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited for it, too. I think there's some cool cards. Chthonian Nightmare is a big one for me, and the new Eldrazi Dragon giving everything a merge is, like, a huge deal for me.
That's pretty
cool.
But
I can't see either of these being, like, the big cards for the set for Modern Horizons to be, like, this is going to ruin Modern. I don't see anything that's going to be banned so far. But that said, who knows? Maybe we've already gone through a banning of that Ugin's Labyrinth card.
Well, I think, like, again, like, if this is going to be released after Mahdi Ho 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 is coming out, I'm not sure how deep we want to go into it. But, like,
sure.
I honestly thought when I saw that leak the first time, I thought that maybe that they were leaks from the Commander decks, which makes so much sense in the Modern product, having Commander decks attached to them. But that's where I thought all those were coming from, right? Because there's so many Eldrazi and all that stuff.
There were leaks for the Commander decks as well, but the ones that you know were officially spoiled by Wizards and kind of like, here's what we're ready to show you. Yeah, there's a surprising amount of Eldrazi.
Yeah, and there's really they can't have a whole Modern set focused on Eldrazi, because the last time they did an Eldrazi focused set, it kind of sucked, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Right. Like, do they really want to do the premium product?
I don't know. I really don't know what to expect, and I'm excited. I think that it's a fun set, but so far. But I will also say, I hope it's underpowered, because there's some stuff that I want to buy cheap. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I concur. I concur entirely. I can see them behind you there. Those I call them Andy Warhol cards. I love those, man. I love those profile cards, and them coming back is so cool, and I'm so looking forward to getting some new ones.
Totally. I agree. Oh. I love the profile cards, the full arts from Commander Masters, and they have shown us a couple that are pretty sweet, or at least the leaks did. But big fan of these. Like, how gorgeous is that?
I have
the playmat from Ultra Pro that does, like, that has compiled all of the ones from Commander Masters in one playmat, and I put it in a playmat sleeve and popped it on my wall.
That's
quite
a fantastic
like it.
Idea.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them behind me, and I'm a big fan of it. So pretty stoked with it. Love this treatment. Happy to see it come back. Hopefully there are legends that I care about when that happens, though, because. It's one thing to be like, here's Emrakul looking like Emrakul in a profile, but it's the Madness Emrakul that I'm kind of like, on.
Yeah, I don't even care,
it's fine.
It's there,
anyway,
too.
All that to say, we're talking Magic, we're talking Modern Horizons 3, we're talking about the coming days, but I think what's more important than all that is right here, right now, Brando, what you calling for? Which I'm guy calling, you calling in.
I want to tell you a little story. And this, I think it kind of is reflective of me as a player. And I want you to tell me if I'm being the bolus, if you will.
Okay. So that's what the podcast is for. Let's see what we can get to.
So you know when you're in the throes of the end game, right? You're on turn, you know, 8 or 9. Everybody's going for the win. Mm-hmm. And you pick out the person that's probably gonna stop you. That guy, he keeps that one wide open all the time. I don't want to run my mm-hmm. wind condition creature into the path he might be packing, right? Uh-huh. So you kind of start going after him to kind of get him to, you want to bait that counter spell, you want to bait that removal, right?
Yeah.
Before you throw your haymaker and win the game. So something that I do is, you know, when you have that really good start, like the really good, like Hornet Queen on turn 3.
Ooh.
Just, you're beating people to just death, right?
Just like slamming.
As long as somebody doesn't wrath you, you'll win the game, right?
Uh-huh.
The thing that I'll do in a situation like that is I'm going to look around the table. I'm going to see whoever's playing white, because they probably are most likely to play the Wrath of God, right? And I'm going to kill that person. And I don't care how good they're doing, because eventually they're going to do white, something, Wrath of God in my mind. So
that's what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking in my head. So I have to kill this person, you know, or the guy who plays blue before he gets a 7 mana and rifts me, right? Like I got to, that's how you win games. Because when you get off to a big start like that, you should just try and win really fast, go to game 2.
Uh-huh.
So the particular story that I'm talking about is Hornet Queen turn 3. I think it was Beastmaster Ascension turn 4.
Damn.
Right? Like, I'm going hard, right? This game's not going to last
as long as... What's the commander of this deck?
Jared the Lion? Lion? The Garth the Lion. Garth the Lion.
Yeah.
And I just happened to get a really good start, right?
Gorgeous.
And so I'm just beating people to death. So it's a Death Touch themed deck. Everything has Death Touch. And it's just, man, it's so good.
All right.
And my buddy next to me, he's playing, I think it's 3 colors, black, white, probably blue.
Okay.
And like, obviously this guy, knowing him, he's obviously going to try and get me. But he's sitting at 2 lands and an arcane signet. And the 2 lands are mountains. Right? So like, what's he going to do with 2 mountains that's going to kill my stuff, aside from Blasphemous Act? So I start going after him. I'm going after him. And he's like, dude, why are you killing me? He's like, because I know you have removal for my stuff. I know you do. You just don't have the mana to play it. And eventually it gets down to it. And I also killed his Arcane Signet when he hadn't drawn a land in 6 turns.
Sure.
Just eliminated him from the game. So he's in a 3-color really deck, stuck focusing on 2 lands and 1 color. Just blow him out. Finish the game. He's all salty.
Uh-huh.
And what do you at this point, am I the bad guy? Am I the bad guy at this point?
For focusing this hard?
On a dude with 2 lands and an Arcane Signet, and I killed his Arcane Signet.
I'd like to say, I'd like to know what the rest of the table's doing, but so far, with just this information, little bit, I think so.
They are cowering in fear, is what they're doing.
Cowering in fear?
The rest of the team is cowering in fear, because at the same time I'm destroying this guy with my insect tokens and my Cornet Queen, I'm keeping them at bay with other giant beaters with Death Touch, and I've ultimated a Garruk and got a bunch of emblems. Oh. Like, this game is over. Okay. Like, this game is over.
I see. So we're talking turn 9 for real. Yeah.
Oh, no, we're talking like turn 4.
Oh,
like this game's over. The game is over. Like they just won't scoop it up because they want to see me kill them by. They want me to do it for some reason.
Which could also be fun.
And then he shows me his hand. And what's he got in his hand? What's in his hand, Mark? Tell me.
Fumigate.
And Wrath. And Chain Reaction. Are all there. The stuff that he's you probably have this. You probably have that. It's all there. He was just waiting for the 4th land the whole time. And that got me thinking. It got me thinking, which is why I called in today. Is the perception of somebody playing removal, playing the powerful stuff, playing the things that are going to stop you, are you wrong to just X that person out of the game in order to stop them from stopping you? Does that make me a bad guy if I see somebody and I just punish them for, like, I know you pack lots of removal in your deck, man, so I'm going to kill you because I'm in a very precarious situation right now.
I see.
And one of us has to die, and I'd rather it be you than me.
I think this is very interesting. I'm split on this one. This is an interesting one.
Really?
I think this early on in the game,
like this one is an outlier where I'm just like, I'm going for the win. Like, I need to eliminate people, right?
You haven't had a game this explosive and you're like, well, this is clearly the one where I'm gunning for a win. I got to do it. Yep. Right? That kind of win. That's what you're going for.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting down and you're like, this is the sweaty play, I'm being sweaty about it.
Yep.
It's time to go for the guy who is the only one equipped to handle my situation.
Yep.
I mean, I can't fault you for that. But at the same time, it all goes down. It comes down to what kind of game did you all sit down to play, right? If you were like, "Hey, we're gonna have ourselves like a little game together where we're just like testing this deck out or something," and then you just slam, and nobody could do anything about it, and you're kind of like, "Ah, the only guy that could potentially do something about it is you, and I'm gonna come for you," and you're given no chance to kind of, yeah, I guess that like that's a different vibe than, hey, let's sit down with our decks. I'm going to go hard. And everybody's like, I appreciate that. And I would also like to go hard, you know? So I think it depends on that context. Yeah. Context here is going to be important.
Yeah, I think in this context specifically, I was playing with three people who I play with fairly often.
I see.
And I was playing and truly that's the only time that deck's ever going to ever do that. Ever.
Totally.
Like that situation will never ever happen again where I draw like all of my rocks and then draw nothing but gas, right? Like
I've experienced that too. There's
it's so good and it feels so awesome, but like it's never gonna happen again.
I have a Savine the Chronoclasm Brash Taunters deck.
Oh yeah, where you're talking. Yeah.
It's a fun one. But it's a deck that I basically have to politic into being left alone until turn 10 if we can get there before anything really happens. But the idea is like I'll get a couple of Brash Taunters, I'll get a couple of like up and running, and then I'll start doing the damage board wipes or whatever. But this one game, it was just nonstop. It just like kept rolling. Yeah. And I got Savine out and was somehow able to flash back a Star of Extinction.
Yeah, buddy.
So it was like, boom, boom, two lands are gone, 40 damage to all creatures, including all my Brash Taunters. I'm throwing 40 damage, and this is like turn 6. I don't know how I did it, but I did it, and it's never going to happen again.
But
and
it feels so good, right?
Sometimes it feels amazing. You know, if we're sitting down and we're like, hey, I want to test this out. Oh, this deck never wins. I might as well play this one, try it out a little bit. And then that deck is like popping off hard. Then we're not getting the game that we were expecting. But at the same time, if I'm like, hey, the terms are changing because I can't believe how I'm drawing this game. If I don't do this, then I'm not playing the deck right.
Like you can't expect people to not play the hand that they drew. And I feel I think that secretly we all build decks to have that game. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think in every EDH deck is that game where you don't expect it to happen, but like we all are going to have that. And when it does happen, I don't think you should get salty when somebody blows you out with it.
Sure.
And I think maybe like focusing on the guy with only two land and an arcane signet maybe isn't the most polite thing to do, but like, I knew him, and he had it, and he had it.
That's it. That's the other element here, the context to it that is also important, is that this is a play group that you play with regularly.
Yeah.
You know this player. You know how they build. You know he's got a tendency to pack a bunch of removal. He flipped over his hand and had three removal spells, two mass board wipes, and a targeted removal spell that he can copy. Like, I think you were right in your assessment of it, but it's definitely, you're like, you're focusing this guy down because you know you're going to win. And it's obvious that this is the time the deck's popping off. And, you know, I think that I'm assuming after the game where people kind of like, hey, that was cool. Let's shuffle up and do another.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played five games that night, and that was game one.
Easy.
So, like, it's not people were too salty about it, but it's just... And let's be fully honest, actually, the next game, I didn't do the same thing, but I definitely did blow them out the next game, too, which made me feel really bad.
Okay.
And that one, actually, maybe this is a secondary thing, maybe.
Ooh.
Because here's another thing that I love doing, and it goes back to our Marty ho 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 stuff. Something that I love to do is, as land bases become easier to build, and I think we can all agree that's a thing.
Yes.
I love to punish greedy mana bases. I love it. I love Blood Moon. I like that new Winter Orb. I like those boots that give non-basic land walk. I love that stuff. I love it. Because, like, colors haven't, they're not a restriction anymore. You can have a commander that costs green, 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 white, white, black, 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 blue, and you could probably still play it on curve. Probably a turn early. Because, like, mana is so easy to get, right? Like,
Arcane Signet was a mistake.
it doesn't even matter anymore. And I love that there are cards out there that will punish people for running those greedy ass mana bases. And I feel like sometimes people will get salty about that in the same way that, like, the side story. Same guy that I blew out with the two lands in the Arcane Signet. Same guy who is in the game I'm talking about now, who I just ate alive with a Blood Moon. He plays an Eldrazi deck, fully colorless Eldrazi deck. And do you remember Void Mirror?
Void Mirror, yeah. Two mana artifact that says if mana of no color was cast, a cost to cast, or no mana was spent to cast a thing, counter the spell.
Yep. Land Solving Void Mirror. Against his Eldrazi deck one time. And it was just like, why did you even play that card? And I was like, for this exact situation, man. For this exact situation so I could get you. And Void Mirror actually is really good now with so many new mechanics. They're letting you play stuff for free. Right?
Cascade.
The cascade that could possibly put it into your hand. Well, Discovery. Even what is it? Plot? Plot plays it for free, right? There's so many things that does that stuff. And I think that playing things that punish overwhelming value is okay. But I get in trouble for it all the time. Like, I've got a couple of decks that win with mass land destruction. Like, I play it and win. That turn is when I win.
Yeah.
And people still get mad that I used something that kills all the lands. Like, but dude, the game's over. Like, the game is over. Who cares if all your lands are gone?
We've had this discussion before with Angelo Guerrero, which is mass land destruction used properly will end a game. Yeah. If you're playing it and then you're taking the game, good. If you're playing it and then you're just like, I just like pissing people off. Like, I played against this guy at an LGS, never mentioned a thing about his deck being a land destruction deck. He was on Zozu the Punisher, which I was like, that's fine. Like, sure. I'll take damage, whatever. But I'm playing my Ninth Doctor and Clara Oswald Grixis Upkeep slow deck. You know, it's a deck that I'll get stuff out, and I'll play the enchantments that do things on upkeep, and I'll get a couple upkeeps at the beginning of my turn, and that'll do. Like, that's the game, right?
That'll do, pig, yep.
There we go, exactly. Oink, oink, baby. But so we're sitting down to play. And so he pulls out his Zozu, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll play this deck. Like, I wanted to play it. His other friend is like, oh, you're playing that? And then grabs a mono black deck, and I'm like, oh, weird that you did that. And then his other friend is like, oh, I'm still going to play this. And I'm like, this is somebody suspicious. Is not cluing me in on this. And turns out he's going to Ruination, you know, on curve, you know, and then has a Jackal Hops later on. Ooh. And I'm just like, hey, you know that this is like something people warn others about when they're not doing it to win. He's like, yeah, I just like pissing people off. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, because you like pissing people off, you didn't tell me. But if you told me, I still would have been like, okay, let's play. But at least now I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that said, it comes back to what you're saying. It's like Void Mirror is a great card to punish effects like that, like all these free cast things, and you know, and of course the Eldrazi deck, the color of the stuff is,
oh,
you know, that's rough.
So good. Oh,
it's brutal. But I will say, it's like, if it's a powerful deck and you have to metagame in your play group, like, I guess that's a fair piece to have. Just don't be tutoring for it every time you play.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Don't ruin his time. But that said, like, it is the kind of thing I'd bring up as like, hey, I run Void Mirror in this deck, or like, you know, hey, I got this Winter Orb in here, or Blood Moon's in this deck, and you're like,
yeah,
oh, okay. And so it's one of those things where you're like, give him a fighting chance, but don't like let him, you know, off the hook completely. I think a quick warning is much more valuable if we're going to proceed rather than just being like, hey, surprise, you know,
whoops.
And yeah, but I think you guys are in a play group and you guys have talked about it before. I'm sure like you've done this before. You're like, I play these pieces. I don't think that's much of a problem. I think that like if I'm sitting down and I'm playing like somebody and I've got Blood Moons, I'm going to be like, hey, I run Blood Moon in this deck. And they'll be like, fair. All right. Good to know. And then they'll hit a fetch and they'll tutor up a Plains. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's not the worst thing. It just means that like, hey, maybe they'll still be a challenge for you later on. Not that you stop them dead cold, right?
Yeah.
And that's also part of it. It's like, it's so much fun to be running a deck that's like totally going to take a win. Like, you know it, you're steamrolling the whole way. And then somebody puts up a fight and they're doing well. And you're like, well, this is a piece of the puzzle that I didn't realize was bent this way. Like, I got to figure this one out now. It's like, it's a new degree of difficulty that wasn't introduced until now. And that's so exciting. That's what makes a game fun.
Yeah, figuring out the puzzle is fun. Yeah, like when people have those key hate pieces or those key things that could stop you from doing what you're doing when you're steamrolling a game or help you further steamroll the game. That's also fun for everybody who is named me.
And me is good at being happy about it. So
yeah.
I don't think that that's a problem. I think, like you said, you'll play the land destruction and you'll win. Great.
Yeah,
awesome.
I actually got a bunch. The one that I do is in my Hypatra, and I can never remember the name of the instant. It's green one, maybe green two, and it turns all lands into 1/1 dudes.
Oh, Natural Affinity? Is
that's
that
the one?
One?
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll resolve a Massacre Worm, and then with its trigger on, they're all like, oh, okay, yeah, Massacre Worm, whatever. Yeah, that doesn't kill any of my guys. And then you go, hey.
Yeah.
And with its trigger on the stack, you go Natural Affinity and it turns all their lands into 1/1s and kills them all. And then they're usually like, they're either dead or they're at 2. Four. Right?
Which is, that's game. I mean, that's...
Because
Natural Affinity is so fun, too.
It's such a beating.
What's that from? Masks block? Yeah, it's Mercadian Masks. It's 2 and a green. Instant, all lands become 2/2s.
That's why I like it. That's why I like it.
Exactly.
Masks block, baby.
Put in the Massacre Girl from Murders at Karlov Manor. You're drawing your whole deck for that one.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Hey, I never thought of that. Ooh.
Yeah,
you just made it a lot worse on my friends, my dude. Like,
hell yeah, dude. Now I'm complicit in the damage of doing the
table. I'm going to blame you from now on. This is perfect.
Am I the bolus for offering tech for an already toxic strategy?
Yes. Yes, okay, you good. Are.
We determined that. The vote is in.
Yes.
It's cast. It's counted.
That is how it works.
The focusing on the guy on its own, you're like, stop the story there. I'm like, well, maybe it's a little harsh, but you're like, no, I was right. And he did have it. And he was waiting for one land before he could like ruin my game. You know what I mean? Like,
would it have blown me all the way out? No.
No.
But it, I mean, have you ever been
still
in a situation?
Have the Beastmaster's Ascension,
I've still got it. I can rebuild so fast, right?
Yeah, but it's green decks.
Have you ever been in a situation where you could stop somebody from winning and you don't because it's like a foregone conclusion? Like you know.
Oh, totally.
Right? Like I'm not gonna
it's something fun. Oh, I just dropped a deck box. Let me just
like something dope's going on.
Exactly.
And I'm not gonna stop this. I'll let this happen. I'm gonna play another game of Magic with my friends. This is fine.
One of my favorite things about, and a big reason I stopped running counter spells for a long time. I've got a couple in a few decks here and there now, but for a while it was just no counter spells, just because I'd oftentimes have the counter spell in hand, and then somebody will be popping off, and I'm like, I could stop this and stop this cool thing from happening. And maybe end the game in 2 turns instead of having it end now with my friend being excited about a thing.
There it is.
And I'd be stopping an interesting, cool thing that I hadn't thought about. Like, the deck is doing a thing that nobody, like, saw coming. And my buddy's like, I didn't even design the deck to do this. Isn't it cool that these pieces are interacting this way? And I'm like, I could ruin this. I could take this away from you and then also take the game. But man, it's so much more satisfying to be like, I remember the time that my buddy Chris put together an 8-card combo that hinged on another player having a permanent in play. So he had to figure out a way to kill all of us before he had to kill his brother who's had the combo piece. And I'm like, that's the more fun version of this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and Disallow is just chucked in the garbage right after that. Like, it makes some room for a more fun spell.
In your mind, you know you could have stopped it. You can claim a moral victory. They're like, I could have won that game. I chose not to. You don't tell him that, but you tell yourself that.
Oh, I tell them and I go, you know what? I think we all won tonight. That was fun.
Everybody went, well, how did you win? I won the game. Well, I could have stopped you at any time, man.
I don't even need it. I could have stopped you, but I didn't. And that's, I lost, but we all won. Yeah, it's
we all
a
won because we have to see that stuff.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the most fun part of the game. We're seeing some new stuff happen constantly. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's why Commander is that's why it's the best format, and I think why everybody likes it so much is because everybody's unique in how they do things, and everybody's going to stumble across some new way of doing something and sometimes, and I do this all the time, is like you don't realize that stuff works the way that it does, and like, oh wait, that's fun, and then everybody we all explore it together, and we all learn like this. Brando, why did you put that in there? I didn't know that I did.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
It's fun because I ended up playing against one of the Transformers decks at an LGS.
The Slicer?
No, one of the ones that you don't see everywhere.
Oh,
I don't remember. I think he had an artifact deck, and it was like Jetfire, or it was one of them. Either way, it was like, oh, okay, I've never seen this resolve or anything, so let's see what happens. And then the game is just like pivoted in his direction. He's doing all this cool stuff. And you're like, whoa, where did this card come from?
Like, how have I ever heard of this card?
Obviously, I know. And I read it totally, but I dismissed it. I didn't see its potential.
Well,
and here I am sitting at a table where something cool is happening because of it.
So many of those Transformers cards have, they have so many words on them that I think
too many.
I think we all read them. We're like, man, none of these are any good. These cards. Enough of this. I don't have anything. Nah. And then eventually they pop up because somebody actually sat down and read both sides. Both sides. And realized, wait, this can do this. And then.
And I could play it for this cost instead.
Right?
I wonder what implications that has. okay, sure, let's see. But then you only hear about Slicer because people are dying quick to it. You know, you're like, oh man, I played against a Megatron Tyrant deck as well. And that thing was just a beating. Have you seen this guy? Megatron Tyrant is a 7/5 for 3 in Mardu mana. It can be cast on its other side for 4 mana instead. And during your combat, your opponents can't cast, all combat. I misread this again. Your opponents can't cast spells during combat, not just yours, combat. Flawless. And then at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may convert Megatron. If you do, add a colorless for each life your opponents has lost this turn.
Oh my god.
Dude, and the backside is a vehicle it's a creature on your turn only. It's a 4/5, and when it attacks, you sacrifice another artifact. And when you do, it deals damage equal to its mana value to target creature. Excess damage that would be dealt to a creature this way is dealt to a creature's controller instead. And then you flip it. It flips over to the other side while it's attacking. So it's hitting for 7. And your opponents can't cast spells during combat. And then you come back to your main phase and you get a ton of mana, even if you're just hitting for 7, or if you dealt like damage with the ability, you're just like, hold on a second, okay, so what are you doing in your post combat main? It's like, oh, I'm gonna play a Worm Coil Engine, and then I have 8 mana left over, so I guess I'll play like 6 rocks. Like, what is this deck? And I'd never seen the deck perform before. I'd never seen the card played before. And that's the joy of this game, is like, we've got new cards, but we've also got old cards showing up and being like a surprise for the table. It's a very fun game. And I think that like, what with like, especially like, I understand that I'm part of this problem that I'm about to, you know, bring up, you know, as content creators, we do have a bit of a hand in like shaping the modern meta in the way that it's like, hey, You have to warn everybody about stuff, and you got to be aware of this and feelings and all that stuff. And like, yeah, it totally true. I wouldn't have a column if I didn't have to talk about that and I wasn't totally valid. But man, it's so cool to just like sit down and let yourself be surprised by this silly game that we're playing.
Yeah,
and the fact that the games that people are out there playing are still able to surprise each other and to show off like new or old interesting cards, rather than just being a homogenized pile like we run into a lot of the time, you know? So that makes me excited. You know, it's fun to hear about the natural affinity with the massacre worm, even though it's a bit on the, you know, taboo side of things.
It's on the scumbag side, but like I said, like, nobody survives that.
Right.
But, like, if that was nobody's coming out of that thinking, yeah, I can definitely still win this game. Nobody.
No,
not a single
nobody.
Person.
Yeah, because then you have combat afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to swing with all my snakes. Whoopsie. Beastmaster Ascension's online again. Uh-oh. 26 snakes are coming to my remaining opponent who has no more blockers and 2 life.
And no land to protect himself.
Exactly. I'm the bad guy for doing land destruction. All right.
Fine.
Yeah. The game's a fun one, and I'm glad that we're... We've been playing for a long time. I mean, you've been doing the podcast alone for so long. You know what I mean?
We've been doing podcast for 7 years. I've been playing since Stronghold. Like, I don't even like to think about how long I've been playing this game, man. But I've been around because it's fun. It's the best game.
It makes me happy to see you light up with joy about some stuff. And that's kind of like the crux of the whole thing, right? That's why we're still around while we're doing this. And it brings us joy. I hope that it brings everybody listening joy. Brando, where can people find you? What do you want them to check out? And we're going to head over to Solani and Morgan in just a sec.
Sure, man. First and foremost, I suggest CommanderCookout.com. That's where you find our podcast, our YouTube channel, all the great stuff that we're doing. We've got so many people on board now helping us do some CDH content and all that kind of fun stuff. So by all means, please check that out. You can also find me on the Commander Cookout YouTube channel where I do some box openings. And I will open worse cards than you. So please check those out. It makes me feel better about wasting my money.
You have some rotten luck. You do have some really rotten luck with these box openings.
Sometimes. Oh, man. And you can also check out the Dufferin Avenue Media Network on YouTube. They're our partners. They're great guys. They're trying to change the world, and we can all be part of that on the ground floor. So please check those things out. And I'm CCO Brando on Twitter, too, if you want to follow along with my adventures. I post pictures of my dog and hyenas and other stuff.
Well, what about those Carolina Reapers, or is it Carolina or California?
Carolina Reapers. I have two of those plants growing on my deck right now. I'm not sure which ones they are, but they're there.
The real chaos player that everybody warns you about. CCO Brando, thank you for calling in. Make sure to follow CCO Nation, CCO Podcast. Be part of the CCO Nation, and we're gonna head over to the booth to talk about whether or not CCO Brando is the bolus. CCO Brando, thank you so, so much for calling in and having a chat with me. CCO Brando of the CCO, the Commander Cookout Podcast. See, I almost said CCO Cookout. The Commander Cookout Podcast, a podcast I've listened to for a very long time. Thrilled to have both the boys call in, and so happy to hear from Brando. Now, I'm going to keep this short and sweet since I don't have to banter with the other two co-hosts and argue about who's got the right opinion. I'm delivering a verdict solo. Brando talked about his threat assessment being early and aggressive, but correct. And if that's the kind of pod you're playing in, that's the kind of energy you've got going. Absolutely not the bolus. How can you be the bolus if your table is full of people trying to make games happen fast and swingy? That turn 3 Hornet Queen into Beastmaster Ascension, that is a mess. That is wild. And to attack the person who most likely will have the stuff that will disrupt your plan, if you're looking for a win, I can't be mad at you. But this is definitely within this playgroup that knows each other well and that understands what kind of games they want to be having. So just, you know, make sure that if you're sitting down and you're focusing on one player, that this is a kind of game that you're all looking forward to having, or that you've discussed what your expectations are. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and say, Brando, not the bolus. Not the bolus, but very in the wrong circumstances could be. But in this case, knowing your playgroup, knowing your pals, it's all in good fun. So that'll do it for us this week at Am I the Bolcast. Thank you so much to you for listening, to my co-hosts, although they're not here, to Brando for calling in, and to Ken for editing this episode. And I will talk to you guys in a couple weeks, and it's time to scoot the day, baby. And we should probably end the episode when I say scoot the day, but I don't have a better way to sign off at the moment. So we're just going to end here.